to my pain. And with it, you are pulling me closer, pulling me into your ways. Now around every corner and up every mountain, I'm not looking for crowns or the water from fountains. I'm desperate and seeking, even frantic believing that the sight of your face is all that I'm needing. I will say to you, it's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it all. Every tear I've cried, oh, it's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it all. Every mountain, oh, I'm not looking for crowns or the water from fountains. I'm desperate and seeking, even frantic believing that the sight of your face is all that I'm needing. I will say to you, it's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it all. Oh my God, I believe. It's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it all. All my pain, yes. Oh, it's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it all. Now around every corner and up every mountain, I'm not looking for crowns or the water from fountains. I'm desperate in seeking, even frantic believing that the sight of your face is all that I'm needing. I will say to you, it's gonna be worth it. Oh, it's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it all. Oh, you're gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it all. It's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it all.
Can you claim that this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I love your name. I love your name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Won't we have a time when we get over yonder? Oh, won't we have a time when we get over yonder? Won't we have a time? Won't we have a time?
Won't we have a time
when we get over yonder? Won't we have a time when we get over yonder? Won't we have a time when we get over yonder? Won't we have a time?
Shout and dance about
when we get over yonder. We're gonna sing and shout and dance about when we get over yonder. We're gonna sing and shout and dance about when we get over yonder. Oh, won't we have a time?
We're gonna sing and shout and dance about
when we get over yonder. We're gonna sing and shout and dance about when we get over yonder. We're gonna sing and shout and dance about when we get over yonder. Oh, won't we have a time?
We're gonna see our Jesus over there.
When we get over yonder, we're gonna see our Jesus over there. When we get over yonder, we're gonna see our Jesus over there. When we get over yonder, oh, won't we have a time?
Oh, won't we have a time
when we get over yonder? Won't we have a time when we get over yonder? Won't we have a time when we get over yonder? Oh, won't we have a time?
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we long to see you. Hallelujah.
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 I should be surprised of how quickly God is able to affect our hearts. As soon as the music began to play, and wouldn't it be worth it all, and I just felt like God just put a meat tenderizer on my heart and just started just not beating me, but just gently put his hand on my heart and says, you know, it'll be worth it all. Whatever you've been going through, it'll be worth it all. I'm so thankful. God could do more in one moment than we could do in a lifetime. It is incredible. It's an impossible situation that we may be in at times, and where we may see loved ones where they are right now. God is able to just turn it so quickly. Don't underestimate that. We may be coming and doing our routine, doing this week in and week out, and we may not see a change, but God is able to just do something in an instant. He is able to quickly pull somebody out of their situation. He's able to quickly quicken somebody in their spirit and say, you know what? Church is starting in a few minutes. Church has started right now. I need to get to the house of the Lord. I could testify that I was one of those ones. It was a Sunday night. It was 6:05 p.m. and church already started. And I'm like, I got to get to the house of God. Something quickened me in my spirit. I need to get there. We need to be encouraged. We need to just by faith high five somebody and say, you know what? God's going to do it. We're going to see that loved one. We're going to see that one that walked away, that lost their way. We're going to see them walk through the door. We should not be surprised, because our God is that kind of God and able to do that just and very thing, like he was able to quicken me personally when that music began to play. I'm thankful for the heaven that is here on earth, that we can experience his presence. We don't have to wait to get to heaven. When we say, God, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as is in heaven. My presence is there, but my presence is here also. So I can sing and shout and dance about right here, right now. I don't have to wait. I don't have to wait till I get that new body. I don't have to wait to get those new knees or new hips. I can do it right here, right now. Lord, take this offering that I have to you, what's left of it, this shell of a body. Lord, I want to give it to you like Abraham when he was at the end of his life. He propped himself up on his cane and he worshiped the Lord. I don't have much left of this life. Maybe I gave the world the best years of my life. But Lord, I'm going to give whatever I have left to you. It may not seem like much, but Lord, I'm going to give you everything I got as long as I have it. And he says, I will take it and I will use it and I will bless you. I'm so thankful that he will take what we have and will make something beautiful out of something that is a total mess. I don't even know how to go from right now to the next part. If your heart's been affected, just thank God. Lord, thank you, Lord, for affecting my heart so quickly today. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing and how quickly you're able to do it. It is beyond my understanding because your ways are higher than my ways and your thoughts are higher than mine. Lord, you're able to plow up that ground, that hard soil, so quickly. You're able to quicken those ones, Lord, that have lost their way. They can't find their way. Lord, may they hear your voice again. May we see them walk through these doors again in Jesus' name, Lord. May we anticipate it. May there be expectation, Lord, in your people, Lord, to expect the miraculous, to expect people returning to you. Lord, you have chosen disciples, turn them into apostles, and they had an expectation that you were going to heal somebody. They expected it before it happened. May we have an expectation that you're going to do something before it's done. In Jesus' name, and your people, place that expectation in us, Lord. Lord, forgiveness if we fall short and we don't expect anything from you, that we don't expect something miraculous from you when we come into your house. May we have an expectation every time we walk into your house and feel your presence, that anything is possible. There is nothing too hard for you, and nothing is taking you by surprise. In Jesus' name, aren't you thankful for his presence? And wow. It's okay to be real with brothers and sisters of like faith. That's why we get together. I don't have to put on a show. I don't have to act a certain way. If I'm hurt, I can come here hurt. I can share that with my brothers and sisters here. If I come here with an expectation, that becomes contagious. I'm expecting a miracle. Hey, he's expecting a miracle. That kind of rubs off on me. That's going to rub off on somebody else. I want what God has given me to rub off on somebody else. Anything good that he has done to me and for me and through me, I want it to rub off on somebody else in a good way. But if there's anything that in my life that I'm hurting, I want to be able to share it with a brother and sister and have them just love on me. And I'm thankful that I could come to the house of the Lord and you could just be loved on. Sister Kellum, the love of God is so, wow. I'm so thankful that I could feel the love of God through this church family, through you individually at times. It is so precious. These are benefits that we may sometimes take for granted at times. And we do. Lord, forgive me for taking for granted those times and these blessings that we have in you. It is incredible. I'm going to try my best to get through this lesson. It's a good one. I always rely heavily upon the Lord. I can't do this without him. So we're going to get into this lesson this morning. We're going to start a new series this Sunday morning, and it's called Grace and the Free Offer of Salvation. In our text this morning, we're going to read in Ephesians 2, 4 through 10. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we are dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He hath raised us up. He brought heaven down here on earth, right here in this very moment. That is incredible. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You can be seated at this time. I want to grab a tissue. I need to kind of clean myself up here. Man, In 2 Peter also, in 3 and 17, it says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness or your own secure footing. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. To him glory both now and forever. Amen." Many people today, we could say, and we've seen this, and we've experienced this firsthand, are looking to find something for nothing. I've worked with people, I've worked on jobs, and they're looking always to get a good deal, and I don't blame them. I'm always looking to get a good deal, especially when I'm buying and purchasing something. But I've recently worked for an individual, and he was looking to see how much he can get out of me for nothing. I'm like, man, this guy is pushing it. And maybe you've experienced things like that where you people mistaken your kindness and thinking how they're borderline abusing how nice you can be to them. And we've experienced this at time. And if you haven't, I'm sure in your lifetime you will, because it's happened to pretty much everybody. There are people wanting politicians that will promise them the most freebies, and we're seeing that right now, and especially in Illinois and in the election, where people are promising you everything under the sun. I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you that if you vote for me, and I'm going to sell this to you and give this to you, and I'm going to take this from somebody else and give this to another person, and whether it's education or housing or supplements to our income, somebody's always looking for something for nothing. This skewed view could be called a sense of entitlement. You could say that we live in an entitlement society. Maybe not individually, but we are kind of in close proximity to that. What's worse is when entitlement finds its way in thinking towards God and our relationship with him. One person writing a devotional observed this. It says, "Early in my walk with the Lord, a friend told me that as I came to understand more fully how undeserving I was of Jesus' grace, I embraced it all the more. Many years later, I still think about her exhortation when on occasion I move from acknowledging my sins and desperate need of a Savior to wondering if perhaps I'm entitled to special treatment based on my good works." And that is something that in our humanity, we're all able to kind of slip into that kind of mindset. We all do our thing. We all have our Sunday best. We all have our rituals, and the enemy, that's a seed planted by the enemy to think that we are kind of okay, or that we're doing pretty good. We're doing better than the other people. But you know what? The only way that we are doing better than somebody else is God is holding every intricate detail of our lives in his hands. You and I, where we're at today, we didn't do this on our own. God didn't restore things in our life on our own doing. We didn't make a way on our own, but he made a way. And we can't take credit for that whatsoever. It says we can all be tempted to begin thinking that we're all pretty good and deserves God's blessing, but I really don't want receive what I know I actually deserve. And I don't believe any of us here do. I don't deserve the grace. What I deserve is a one-way ticket to hell. And to look at anybody else where they're at and say, you know what, you're on the path, you're going that direction. They may be going, but I deserve to be going that way too. But it was by God's grace, by something that I didn't deserve, that he extended out to me, that I would be going in that same direction as well, in Jesus' name. The most popular definition of grace is simply the unmerited favor of God. It's not earned, and it's not deserved. It's not diplomatic immunity for the royal priesthood to do whatever they want to do whenever they wanted to do it. If anything, that's a rejection of God's grace, and it sounds more like a delusion. For example, if I was in debt and I had no possible way to repay, let's say, $200,000 in credit card debt on a $50,000 a year income, and somebody came and paid that debt for me, it would be foolish and delusional to start racking up that credit card debt again and to think that that person was just going to come and pay that for me again. Well, he'll just do it because, you know, I'm good and, I'm you know, he's there and readily available. It's delusional. And a lot of people misinterpret grace for saying, I could do whatever I want whenever I want to do it, because God is always faithful and just forgive. You don't abuse that what God extended to you. He will only put up with that for so long. And he is plenteous in mercy, and he is long-suffering, more long-suffering than we are, possibly more than we can understand. And we look at people that have walked away, and we see how, Lord, how do you extend that long-suffering? Because he is more patient. He sees things in a realm and a dimension we don't see. He's God, but in our humanity and our carnality, we will kind of fall back and try to judge ourselves, compare ourselves to other people. We fall in that as we do that in church amongst ourselves, but, you know, it's just as bad of a trap to fall and compare ourselves with people that are of the world, because I didn't deserve where I'm at today. I wasn't entitled to it. And I'm just be thankful. To have a grateful and thankful heart will always put us in the right place and to steer away from that. And it's amazing. The Bible, Scripture says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Some have gone further and farther than they ever imagined. But if we were honest with ourselves and with each other, there's times that we've fallen astray between today and the last service. We have slipped mentally, emotionally, spiritually away. We may have skipped a couple mornings of devotion. We have may have skipped a sincere time to talk. We have may have skipped those times where God laid upon us to pray for an individual at that moment. Maybe we have got on social media. Maybe we have entertained what could be on television a little bit too long, and we drifted away. And we're like, man, where was my mind at when I was at church last Wednesday night or last Sunday morning? And where I am till now, I feel so lost. And I'm like, but we come back to church because we're in this routine and we're in this ritual. But others have just maybe missed one service, and it turned into two services, and it turned into three services. They came offshore. They got away from the dock. They jumped out of the boat, and they got further away than they ever imagined. Sometimes we drift away further than we can imagine within just a few days, but others have drifted away for maybe weeks or months or years. But it's because of God's unmerited favor. It's something that we didn't deserve. If we shouldn't use the word grace so loosely, and take it so lightly, because it is just called by the definitions. A lot of times we'll say things and we don't understand it. And a lot of times I like looking up the definition, and I don't just like to say things in generalities or assume that we know something, but grace is God's unmerited favor, and this is a nature of God himself, of I want to grant you something you deserve. I want to do something for you that you can't do on your own. And that's just a nature of God. And it's more than just a dispensation of time. And there's a dispensation of time of grace that's related to that word. But it is more than just an area of time, an area that we're living in right now. But it is the nature of God himself. In some situations, life is difficult and impossible to escape, for people to escape on their own. Some are even impossible to get out with some help. And it would be foolish to think that we can even manage impossible situations. It'd be foolish to think that we can manage maybe a $200,000, for example, debt on a $50,000 income, like on the credit card debt. You're not going to manage. We're fools to think that we can manage sin our own. And there's people out there that are doing that every day. Well, I can live the way I want to. I'm trying to keep everything in place and organized, to try to keep everything in balance. But things aren't in balance. Things aren't the way they should be. And it is foolish and delusional to think of grace as what it really isn't. And just like it's delusional to think that we can manage impossible situations on our own. We're only fooling ourselves. And there's times where we get caught in a trap of fooling ourselves. Just like when people that are here today, they get on the call on a trap of fooling themselves to think that they can manage where they are. I know where church is. I know where it is. I know what time it is on Sunday morning, but I'm going to go do my thing. I can manage this. I got room. I got a little space. But you know what? That's limited. I'm going to kind of move forward in this. I just want to be led by the Spirit. And I spent a lot of time in this, and more than most people, Brother Kellum. It's consecration time, a dedication in the Word of God, and preparing for this. But I got thinking about this week, and I remember there was a time that I came here on a Sunday night, and Brother Davis preached a message, and at the end of the service, I think I was sitting right where Sister Callum's sitting, or Sister Grimm is sitting here this morning, and at the end of the service, he gave an invitation. He said, if you haven't received the Holy Ghost, come on up here and receive it. You know what I did? I took two steps and I walked right out the door. I didn't deserve another chance. Because it wasn't too long after that, it was after I received the Holy Ghost and I realized that I don't deserve and I didn't earn God's unmerited favor, his grace. I was in bus ministry, and we would pick up this brother and sister, and Brother Davis, I don't know the name of their last name, but they lived on Lafayette Street, and this brother and sister would come every Wednesday night to Power Hour. And Brother Davis extended an invitation for the dad to come, and he said, you know what? I have something planned this Sunday, but I'll come next Sunday. That Sunday, the opportunity that he had to come, that he made plans to do something else, passed. But between that Sunday and the following Sunday, he had a heart attack and passed away. And I realized that unmerited favor of God, I don't deserve. I didn't deserve that second chance when I walked out the door when that invitation was extended to me at that evening. There was many times, and not many of you know this, but some of you do, that I used to come here and I wasn't raised in this. I was raised Baptist. My dad's a licensed Baptist minister. I was raised in a Baptist church, went to a Baptist school, and I was raised Trinitarian. And I came to church here for about, to an apostolic church. I started to go to the one in Aurora. I went there for about a year and a half, and I realized that it took me that long to even realize that I even needed this, as I felt eternally secure. But the more that you get underneath the preaching of the word, the more that you're accountable for what you hear. Because God imparted that to me, I'm accountable for it. Once he's given that to you, it's too late. It's already been divulged. You can't. Now what are you going to do with it? I almost don't even know where I'm going with this. I just want to be spirit-led this morning. We don't need to take this for granted. We don't need to take where we're at for granted. I was looking at last night. I'm thankful for being a part of a church that's like no other. I was praying last night. It was like the words just came out of my mouth when we prayed for the food last night. I'm just thankful to be a part of a church that's like no other. I don't deserve to be a part of this church. You know, even though there's not a whole lot of us here, but there are many. We are part of something bigger and greater. And when I get to these conferences, when I get to youth convention every year, when I went to youth congress, we are part of something bigger and greater and global and something, a kingdom that is eternal. A kingdom that is not of this world. And I'm thankful to be a part of that. I don't want to ever take that for granted. I wasn't entitled to it. I wasn't born into this. I'm first generation. But there are ones that have been into this in multiple generations. We maintain a mentality of, I didn't deserve this. But thank God that I'm a part of it. You know, I thank God that I'm a part of this priesthood, this royal generation. I don't want to ever take a day for granted. So much is revealed to me that I didn't deserve. He gave me that opportunity, those chances. And there was times, to be honest with you, I got frustrated. I came up here. I didn't receive the Holy Ghost the first time that I came up here and prayed. But I kept going forward. I want to hear to testify that God is reward to them that diligently seek him. If you don't, God renewed something. He renewed that thought of that promise. My promise is unto you and to your children. I remember on a Sunday night, I'm like, you know what? I'm not going up here again. How many times I went up to the altar to pray to receive the Holy Ghost, and it didn't happen. And I got frustrated. I'm like, I'm not doing it again. I mean it this time. And I would be driving to work in the morning, and I'd be looking in the rearview mirror, and I saw this rainbow in the rearview mirror. And I'm driving. And I look back, I'm like, God, that's a promise. Lord, you just renewed a promise within me. I take back that that when I was in the heat of the moment and said, I'm never going to come up here again. Because God, you renewed something within me. I don't know. He said today is a day of salvation. He has an appointed time, and he will never refuse anybody. But it's pretty much us aligning our will with his will. He's not gonna refuse it to anybody. His salvation plan is so simple that even a child can receive it. It's for us to get this clutter out of the way. It's for us to get us out of the way and allow him to fill that empty void and space. Repent. Turn my heart and mind to him. Get rid of the clutter. Lord, remove all the clutter in my life, in my heart, and my mind. Lord, I want to be obedient. I want to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. I want to be identified with you. As many has been baptized in Christ has put on Christ. I want to be related. I want to be a part of that. I want your name applied to my life. But by faith through grace, I'm going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I have to exercise faith. I have to enact faith. Faith is so key. Grace is so key. These are entrances into the door. But there is so much more after I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It was not what I expected. And I remember Brother Betcher, I believe he's a pastor that took over the church in Bartlett and Brother Yance's church. Before he passed away, he was a youth leader at the church. I remember going to youth convention the first time, and I remember if anybody didn't receive the Holy Ghost, would you stand? And brother Al, there was like 2,000 people, and there was like maybe 10 of us. And I stood up, and I'm like, man, I feel really little, you know, like you kind of put me on the spot. And he's like, well, come on up here to the front row. And I was like, okay, you know, this is all new to me. I didn't know how things were, and I'll be honest with you, it was a little uncomfortable, you know, in my flesh, because this is all new to me. But he with his youth group began to pray with me, for me, to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I got as far as stammering lips. And this was like, I want to say in 1996, 97. I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in 2004. He goes, when we went back to our hotel, we were praying for you, Tom. I didn't deserve that. I didn't deserve those prayers of all those people going and spending time of their day and praying for me that afternoon. I'm thankful for God's unmerited favor and his grace. It was after I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I realized I was a new creature, and I told you this. I looked at my hands. I looked in the mirror, and I just stared at myself, and I'm like, who is that? And I remember going to men's conference, which is only a couple weeks away. We went to, we go to the one in Tinley Park, and when I went there, I saw Brother Betcher up on the platform, and I couldn't wait to talk to him. I wanted to tell him I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I told him, I said, it's not what I expected, but it was more than what I expected. You know what? It could have just stopped right there at his grace and at receiving the Holy Spirit by faith. But God has revealed so much more to me after receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He taught me that he will lead and guide me into all truth, that he will teach me all things. It's a process. It's a walk and a talk with him daily. And I thank God for the grace that God extended to us where he tipped the scales. Adam and Eve, they were disobedient and they sinned and they lost their way and they lost that fellowship with him. They lost those cool walks in the morning, those talks in the morning. They lost with him. But God tipped the scales because the spotless, sinless Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world began. He knew the end from the beginning. We are faced with things in our life. We are faced with uncertainties in our life. And God, he wants us to hold on to him And it's not that we deserve to hold on to him. He's not saying, get off me, get away from me. He's saying, he's extending the invitation, his hand out as we walk and we talk and we are uncertain with life as it just gets poured onto us at times. Do you ever feel like you're in a rainstorm and it's monsoon season and you're standing there and you don't have an umbrella? But God says, I am with you. You're not standing there alone. I am with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. That is a part of God's grace that he said that is a promise that he gave us. He didn't have to, but he wanted to. He didn't have to come down from heaven to save me, but he wanted to. It was his desire. He gave up something. He sacrificed something. He robed himself in flesh. He goes, I want to do this for you. He's just asking. Don't take it for granted. You know, just have a grateful heart. Just be thankful. Man, how quickly. I'm just blown away. I'm going back to the beginning. It is going to be worth it all. Every test and trial, times of hurt, times of pain, times of sorrow. And then he brings heaven down on earth and he touches a heart. Then he's saying, you don't have to wait to get to heaven to praise me, to worship me. You don't have to wait to get on walks on the streets of gold to run and dance and shout. You could do it right here, right now, because I'm going to bring a little bit of heaven here down on earth. He said, I want you to extend the invitation to me. He says, extend that invitation. Pray that prayer. Pray that my kingdom come and that my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We need a little piece of earth, a heaven on earth. And we just don't need it just for just one little moment. I want a piece of heaven on earth where I don't care who's playing at 12 o'clock today. I want a piece of heaven on earth here today where I don't care about nothing else. I'm not thinking about where I'm going to eat after church today. I just want to experience a little piece of heaven on earth because he extended his unmerited favor to me. Can we just examine, can we just take a moment? This is so not part of what I had planned for today, but if we could just close our eyes and open our hearts to him. A lot of times when we close our eyes, we close our hearts and minds, but we need to just, Lord, I want to open my heart to you today, Lord, and I want to thank you. And forgive me for times of being ungrateful. I want to thank you, Lord, for your unmerited favor. I didn't deserve it and I didn't earn it. There's nothing that I could do to deserve or earn it. Lord, because I have sinned, I'm disqualified, Lord, because you came, the spotless, sinless Lamb of God. You became sin who did not know sin for us, that we could maybe be partakers in this. In Jesus' name, Lord, I don't want to take it for granted. I pray that none of us take it for granted. I pray, Lord, that you renew our hearts. Lord, you're doing such a quick work here in this hour. At the very beginning when the music began to play, Lord, you have tenderized. You have challenged, Lord. You've turned hearts around, turned hearts towards you. In Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, that it be an expectation, Lord, for the coming moments, Lord, even to the next hour. In Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, that we would remove the clutter and the distractions in our life. Lord, may we not think about what's going to happen or the cares of this life or what's going on tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Lord, may we just focus on you. Lord, may our desire be you and you alone and nothing else and no one else in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, may we be refilled in you if we haven't been refilled in you, Lord. Refill us, Lord. Let there be an overflow of your spirit in this place today in Jesus' name, Lord. May there be, Lord, an overflow, Lord, of your grace and mercy and your presence in Jesus' name, Lord, to do the miraculous, to do what you want to do. May our hearts be open to do what you want to do in this place, Lord. Lord, hallelujah, Lord. Challenge us, Lord. Lord, whatever you need to do and God have to do it to us, Lord, let it be done today. Let it be done right now, Lord. Lord, I ask, Lord, in your name, Lord, and it may not wait for another week in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. I pray, Lord, you would place an expectation, Lord, in your people here this morning, Lord. Lord, I would pray, Lord. Lord, that you would place, you would, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we as a people would stir the gift that is within us, Lord. You have given us such a precious gift, Lord. I pray, Lord, that people right now, Lord, would stir the gift that is within them in Jesus' name, Lord. Stir the gift that was in them, Lord. Don't take granted for the time that we have in your house and in your presence in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are not to take for granted even a single moment that we are here today. We are not guaranteed the 11 o'clock hour. We are not guaranteed another Wednesday night service, Lord. Lord, it is by your grace and undeserving favor, Lord, that we are even here in this building here today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. May we learn to walk and grow in you. Lord, to learn to walk and talk with you, Lord. May, Lord, if any of us need to repent, Lord, may we repent, Lord, and turn our hearts and minds towards you, Lord, and just push back everything. Lord, maybe we need to press this morning for a moment and just push back some things, push back some distractions. Lord, stir up that gift that the Lord, you told us to stir up the gift that is within us, Lord. And Lord, and you will activate these gifts, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that it be an activation of these gifts of the Spirit, Lord. That there be a demonstration here today in this place in your house today in Jesus' name, Lord. May we, Lord, forgive us for thinking about beyond this moment, beyond this hour, beyond this day, into the afternoon, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for having an appetite, Lord, for the world and things of this world, Lord. Lord, may there be a restored appetite and hunger and thirst for you again here today in your people, within your people, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If we can stand at this time and just take a moment to prepare our hearts for him and have an expectation that God is going to do something here today. Not that we deserve it, but just be grateful. He's done it before and he'll do it again. I believe he's going to do it again. I believe he's going to pour out his Spirit again. May we expect it. May we not be distracted. May there be not just a stirring, but a pressing. A pressing. A pressing. There's a door. There's an effectual. But their adversaries at the door. May we press past it. May forgive us, Lord, for being complacent. Lord. Lord, we are entitled to this, Lord. Lord. Thank you, Lord, for tenderizing our hearts here today. In Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, this is your day. Lord, you have made it. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, from here on out, Lord, in Jesus' name, have your will and your way in this place, in the service, in our hearts, in our lives. Lord, direct the path, Lord. Direct the path of Sister Shannon as she begins to play. Direct the path of Brother Wells, Lord, as he's going to minister to us today, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, direct the path of the ones, Lord, that you have empowered with the gift, Lord, of your Spirit. Lord, the gifts, Lord, those spiritual gifts that you placed in this church in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, to edify, to encourage this body in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Brother Krager, as you were speaking, I begin to think. What is it about us that when something is given to us, we don't have to pay anything for it? Something's just provided unto us. Why is it that those things that are given that we don't have personal investment or time into, we don't take care of like we should? But yet those things that we have spent time and effort and earning and putting our own blood, sweat, and tears into, those things we treasure and we hold valuable. Lord, you paid the price for me. You paid the sacrifice, Lord. It was your blood, sweat, and tears that went into my salvation. Oh Lord, don't let me fall upon my human nature and just take it for granted. No, it's not of works, lest any man should boast, Lord, but it is your work that made it possible for me to be saved. Maybe I can give an analogy that helps, and please understand this is for illustration purposes only, if you will. Often in my outside employment, I go back into apartments that have been recently renovated. Owners have put in all this money, thousands of dollars that they put in. And many of these people, some of these properties, they are the entitled folks. Pay next to nothing. I've seen the rent rolls. $25, $50 a month rent. And after thousands of dollars in just a few weeks, I walk back into the apartment because there's an issue to find out what's going on, and there's holes in the walls. They've drilled the wall and put incense sticks in. There are hooks all over the ceiling and posters everywhere. It just makes my heart hurt. All this money, all this stuff, this brand new unit just given to them to live in, and they don't have enough respect to make sure they're taking care of it. You can tell the difference between those who truly have a respect, who maybe are truly down on their luck, and they do really need assistance, and they do, and they take care of it. Man, you'll go into some of those places, and man, the little old ladies, they just have it pristine. Because they care about what has been given unto them. Lord, don't let me be like those entitled folks where you've given me all this stuff and you've blessed me with all this and I just don't care. I just kick holes in the walls and I just let any old thing in. No, Lord, help me. This body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Lord, what you've given unto me, what you've provided unto me, Lord, let me be respectful of it. Let me be grateful, Lord. Don't let me see it as an obligation, God, to come here and lift my hands. Let me see it a privilege, Lord, that I can come and express my gratitude for what you've given unto me. Classes are going to be returning in just a few minutes. Why don't you take this opportunity to spend some time and thank God? Lord, I want to be grateful for what you've given unto me. Lord, you paid the price for it. Your blood, your sweat, your tears, God, they went into my salvation. It's not of my works, it's your works. But I don't want to take it for granted. All this that you have provided for me, God, the blessings that you have bestowed upon my life, God. The many things that I see that surround me that I know are only because of your work in my life. Help me to be grateful. Help me to take care of it.
Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that's brought us through. For as high as
Lord, I want to show my gratitude for what you've done for me by how I take care of my life. This new life that I now live, God, I live it for you. I live it to be an example in word and deed. Let me spend time cleansing the temple, Lord. Let me do the things that are necessary to show you that I so appreciate what you've freely given unto me.
Think about his grace.
I don't want to have an entitlement mentality when it comes to what you've provided me. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve to be here this morning to be able to lift my voice and lift my hands and praise unto you. I don't deserve the things and people that surround my life that encourage me.
Great is the measure.
I don't deserve it, but I'm grateful. I want to be grateful, Jesus.
Think about his love. Think about his goodness.